And I will praise you as long as I live. As long as I as long as I live.
It's more than just eternal life in heaven. He blesses you. think about, what do you need to be saved from right now? It's not rocket science. Help! What are you crying out help for? He's here. He loves you. So when we sing these words, we're not putting on a show. This is not a sing-along. We're not the greatest rock band in the universe. Although we like to jam out, it's fun. Because we love to praise God because He loves us. Amen? So let's sing with faith. Here we go. Your loving kindness. Come on. Your loving kindness is so much better.
Do you greet one more person? Hallelujah. Find somebody you don't know. Sola baba hasia. We good? Okay. I want you to, this morning, this is a verse of scripture that all of you, I hope, know most of it. I would hope even that most of you would already have it committed to memory. If you have not, no shame. We're not like that around here, but I would encourage you to. Such a powerful verse of scripture. And it's where we started a number of months ago when we began our series on faith. How many are speaking to your mountains? You haven't been with us, you can get a hold of the audios and find out what I'm talking about. Jesus said that faith looks like this. Open your mouth, speak what you believe. You got something that's overshadowing your life? That seems like an impossibility, cast a shadow on your life. Jesus refers to it as a mountain. He refers to it as something that represents the impossible. But how many know Jesus also said we can speak to the seeming impossible out of a heart of faith? Jesus said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You get the word of God in you. You get His promises, His principles, His precepts on the inside of you. Jesus said, if you'll speak and you don't doubt in your heart, here's the shocking statement He makes in Mark 11:23. You will have whatever you say. Don't look at me like that. Jesus said, come on. Jesus said, you will have whatever you say. Now, the thing is, Scripture speaks a lot about relationship, just as Brother Jim Richards said, not formula. And a lot of faith teaching has gotten off into formulas. And we've gotten, a lot of people have gotten this idea is that whatever I say, I get. How many know better than that? But if we are pursuing and loving God, He begins to put His desires in our hearts. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 put it this way. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. He'll put desires that are from Him on the inside of you. And when you speak out of the knowledge of God's word and desires that are rising as a result, faith rises when we see God for who He really is. And when we speak something, how many know things begin to happen in the unseen realm? And just like in the same chapter 11 of Mark, if you haven't been with us, when Jesus spoke to a fig tree, nothing happened on the surface. But as the scripture points out, that tree had dried from the roots up from the moment Jesus spoke, even though it wasn't seen till much later. How many are speaking the word of God over your lives, over your grandbabies, over your children, over your finances, over your town, over your nation? Are you here today? How many are speaking the word of God, talking to your mountain? Then Jesus immediately references the absolute need for us to not walk in unforgiveness. And of course, if you were not here, we know there is a massive change between the dialogue of Jesus as a rabbi under the old covenant and what Paul then now interprets what he said under the new covenant that Jesus gave. Namely, if you weren't here, Jesus says in Mark 11:23, He says, and when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. That's pre-new covenant. He is still a rabbi under the old law. How many know no longer is it what we do that gets us favor with God, but it is what we believe. Amen. Are you here? So you don't forgive so that you'll be forgiven. How many know we come into the family of God by confessing of faith in the work of Jesus Christ? Our faith in His obedience has made us righteous. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Isn't that good news? Paul goes on in Ephesians and in other places. He says, now in the new covenant, what Jesus came for, what He died for, what He was resurrected for, now is a full and new covenant. Just as our dear sister Ruth said last week, new means never been used, a brand new covenant. And Paul now says something completely different because of the completed work. Everybody say finished.
Finished,
finished work of Christ. He says, now you who are in the body, forgive one another as God for Christ's sake has, and you could insert already, forgiven you. We now forgive not to be forgiven, but we forgive out of the outflow of forgiveness that has been freely given through the work of Jesus on the cross. How many are glad today that we forgive because we have been forgiven? How many in here recognize you have been forgiven? That's great news. Aren't you glad for the love of God? So we got to understand that's a humongous change in thinking, and so much of the church is not aware of that. So how many of you are speaking to your mountains? How many of you have been with us over the last few weeks? We started out, and we're going to get back there this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 now also talks about mountains. And the Spirit of God speaking through Paul says, if I had faith to move mountains, but I don't have love, I have nothing.
Amen.
Say with me today, love is important. Now, this is a perfect opportunity for pastor to exercise control over his congregation, to make you feel really bad about yourself, to turn introspective, and then to lead you to believe that I have the answer for all of your problems. You have tons of problems. I'm going to point out your problems. I'm going to point out that all of your troubles are because you don't love God enough, and I've got the answer for all of your problems because I know how to read the Word of God and interpret it for you, and I'm going to really let you have it. If you would love God more, if you would love people more, then God would be able to answer your prayer. The reason He's distant from you and the reason He's away in your life, this is where it goes. Now, how many know there is a place for loving others? You better believe it. We're called into a body. And there are rewards to submitting to this new covenant love and responding by faith to others who are undeserving. We're going to talk about what love is, what it looks like in the Word of God. Can you say amen? But this is my perfect opportunity, except we're not going to go there. We're going to go another route. We're going to go the biblical route. Because that wouldn't be right. That's called control, manipulation. It's me preaching sin instead of the answer. How many know if I can get you to see Jesus? Are you here today?
Yes.
The answer to sin. How many of are very already, without me pointing out any of your sin, how many are already very aware of your sin?
Yes.
You don't need me pointing it out some more. We need an answer. How many know there is an answer for sin? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How many are glad for the gift of God? Hallelujah. Jesus. So here's the deal. You don't need me to browbeat you anymore. You do good enough of a job by yourself. The devil makes up the difference, whatever's left over. And if we left it there, you'd be where most of Christendom is. Nobody ever seems to be able to reach past themselves because they've been reminded by the devil, by their friends, and by their church and their pastor of how unworthy they are. And if they would just love more, do more, tithe more, be more regular to church, do all these things, that somehow that would make an adjustment and God would answer your prayers. That is religion. That is not Bible. What Richie said this morning is totally true. I love the song, "Oh, How He Loves Me." Can you stop just a moment? This morning, I stand with you completely and totally unworthy. Completely and totally unworthy after my own understanding and way. But He has made us worthy, not by what we did, not of works, lest any man should boast, but by a confession of faith born out of a heart of belief. By grace through faith I was saved. I no longer have to work to get His love, but I was created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Great grace has made it possible for me to love and give great grace that would be impossible otherwise. How many are glad for Jesus today? All right, so this scripture now, I want to point you back to one that we learned back a number of months ago. We're going to come right back to it. It's found in the book of 2 Timothy, a little book towards the back of your Bible. Paul here is talking to a young pastor who's really going through a difficult time. There are, as in so many of the books, those that have come in from the outside. They've tried to deceive and to confuse. And Paul is telling young Timothy, you stand strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You stand firm in what He has called you to do and in the things that I've taught you by the Holy Ghost. Tremendous. 2 Timothy, let me get there with you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yeah, somebody knew where I was going. All right. How many can quote it? Don't look at your Bible. That's not quoting, that's reading. Look up here. How many can quote it already? Let me give you a clue. Four. All right. Listen to that one more time. Let's do it together. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, if you go to the original Greek, the sound mind speaks to self-control, a disciplined mind. How many know there is discipline under grace? Well, you're shouting me down there, aren't you? How many know there's discipline under grace? It pays to take time to sow the Word of God in your heart, to read and to fill yourself. I want to teach our congregation how to be self-feeders. I'm not your Savior, nor will I ever be. I've got news for you. I'm not even your covering. You hear this in church all the time. Jesus, would you say with me, Jesus is my covering. That's an abuse of Hebrews 13, a very poor translation by the King James, which I'm reading out of now and I love. No hit against the King James, but a very poor translation that tells you to obey those that teach you. Obey what they say, for they got to give account for your souls. In the Greek, it does not say that. In the Greek, it says, yield to those who are teachers over you in the Lord. So, for this reason, for they are the ones who serve you or teach you the Logos. completely different understanding out of one verse. I remember using that as a young pastor years ago. Well, who's your covering? Well, if you're going to leave here, where are you going to go? You got to make sure you got to have a covering. We were your covering here. This is stuff that is not biblical. It's men over men, men lording over men. It's sad. Should not be so in the church. My job is to help you see more and clearer and deeper and higher that your covering is Jesus. I have a place as a pastor. There is something called authority in the church. There is yielding to those. But this authority is not men ruling over men. This is the Word of God being preached by certain gifts and us yielding to the Word of God that men are preaching. That's the authority, the Word of God. You okay with that? Okay. So, how in the world did I get off into that? Okay, so we're looking at, I still got to find 2 Timothy. Where is 2 Timothy? Would you help me find 2 Timothy, darling? No, I'm kidding. Relax. They were going to act, that's so sweet. They were going to actually help me. It's after 1 Timothy. I heard you. 2 Timothy 1:7. So we've already quoted it. Here it is. Let's look at it together. Underline in your Bible. You ought to know this one. It says, for God hath not given us. The spirit of fear. Any of you here ever dealt with the spirit of fear? Something that rolls into your life and fear and worry about things that have not even happened yet. Begin to consume your life, and you're already reacting to things and preparing for things and insuring against things that haven't even happened. That's pretty amazing. Paul is challenging young Timothy, and he's saying, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I'm going to keep on reading a little bit here just to give us a little bit of context. He just reminded Timothy of who he was, of his mother, his grandmother Lois. There's an interesting story there about who his dad was and some other stuff I don't have time to go into right now. But Timothy was a very interesting young man and a true man of God, somebody that Paul took time. Paul also here is helping him set some things in order in his church and in the body in that area. And he's challenging him. He says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker. And I'm reading out of King James, all right? Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, you're being persecuted right now, and there's some stuff coming against you. Don't be ashamed of that. Stand strong, stand tall. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. There it is. You hear that? He's reminding this young pastor, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You think I harp on it all the time? I harp on it all the time because the Spirit of God through Paul harped on it all the time. It's one of the most needed things in the body, at which was given unto us in Christ before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Woo, man! Did you hear that? Okay. Continuing, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have. What a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. Take heart, take strength in what you're hearing. If it's true for Paul, say it with me. If it's true for Paul, it's true for me right now. Are you here? I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Then he says to young Timothy, and he's speaking to us this morning, he said, hold fast the form of doctrine which thou hast heard of me in faith. Here it is, in faith. Would you listen? In faith and love. You thought I came up with all this, didn't you? In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. This thou knowest, that all they which in Asia. And then he begins to talk about different things that are happening. Say with me this morning, faith works by love. Galatians 5, 6. This is what we're going to be talking about. Now, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. How many can quote it with me one more time? For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It seems like there is a Holy Ghost wheel that is found throughout Scripture, and the hub is always love. Power. We've been dealing with power for several months. How many are glad for the power of God? Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Do you realize what he's saying? According to the power, listen, according to the power that works in us. Tap your neighbor and said, I just found out there's a power in me. Come on, tap them. Say it. I just found out there's a power in me that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I've been even hoping or imagining for. Most of us are not even aware of who we are in Christ. That's why we need to get into the Word of God and find out what we look like to God. And it might change the way we react and behave. Okay, well, I'll continue then. All right, so here we go. So, right here we see power. On the other side, we see the ability to exercise self-control, a sound mind. Do you know that a lot of oppression, and listen, I'm going to step on some toes, and I don't mean to be insensitive. I don't mean to be hurtful. You know me better than that. But if you'll be willing to hear, how many know the gospel has the answer for every problem? Is the answer, the fulfillment for every need. A lot of people who suffer with depression and oppression, and listen, I realize that there are some real physical disorders. I realize there are reasons for why people, this is not meant to be insensitive, but you know what? If you can get into the Word of God and find out what it says and exercise some Holy Ghost enabled discipline, depression, oppression that rules so many people's lives cannot remain with that grip in your life. The world is rampant. Sadly enough, the church is rampant with depression. Well, you're fired up this morning, aren't you? So here we'll just keep on. So here's the deal. You got power. How many are speaking to your mountains? On this other side, you have this thing called a sound mind. Paul said, for we have the mind of Christ. Would you make that confession with me today? Come on, some of you elderly that are struggling with memory, you need to get angry. You need to shout a little bit. You need to say, I have the mind of Christ, the strength of God. I can remember. I can do. Listen. This is the Word of God. Say it with me. I have. Come on, make a confession. I have the mind of Christ. For He lives on the inside of me. Greater is He. Come on, shout it out. Greater is He that is in me. 1 John 4:4. Than he that is in the world. Let that be your confession. Stop saying, I can't. And begin to boldly declare, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we have power. Over here we have a sound mind. The inference in the Greek, if you go to Strong's, is you have control over what's going on. Self-discipline. And in the middle is this beautiful thing that without it, none of it works. It becomes mechanics called love. Now there is one word in the English language for love. There's at least four in the Greek that we see. Hebrew similar. In the Greek, you have, and we're going to go through all these, probably not today. Okay, but you have eros. That's a human sensual love, the word where we get the word erotic from. We'll get into all that and what it is. It's a selfish love. There is sturgio. This is a form of affection. And I'll get into that a little bit more. There is phileo, which is a type of brotherly love. It's you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Okay, nothing wrong. Remember Philadelphia? In Revelation? Okay, this is where all these names come from. It's interesting how the Holy Ghost weaved all of these happenings, real church and real history. Real documentation on real churches, real people. Interesting stuff. And then, finally, the God kind of love. Can everybody in here say agape? Now, this is kind of the most worn out message, I think, in the church. And the more that it's preached, I think, the more confused people become. I want to, and I don't mean this arrogantly, but I pray that as you guys continue here with us, that you're going to get a grip, a greater grip than you ever have on what that means. Because here's the truth. Faith that works by love actually moves the impossible. That's how it's designed to work best. I didn't say that faith doesn't work because you're perfect in acting out your love to others. How many have stood in faith and had God do some things when you were absolute wreck? And when we started this series on faith, I made it explicitly clear to, I mean, I had people get up and walk out of here upset because I showed that believing was the only prerequisite for miracles. Yes. Not necessarily knowing or even loving God. Jesus, before he died, was buried and resurrected, preached the gospel. People heard what he had to say, and they said, if thou wilt, or if you would, or have mercy on me, thou son of David, one after another, under the old law, separated from God, cried out. And Jesus said to them over and over and over and over again, only believe. Every one of those people who believed and had miracles would still have a future decision after the resurrection. This risen Messiah who would bring to an end all of the Jewish tradition and order. He would fulfill all of the symbolism. He would be hated and killed because he challenged that. And would be rejected according to prophecy, rejected by his own. Salvation came to the Jews and through the Jews to the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How many know how God loves the Jews? But listen, there's this idea in a lot of people that talk about end times. They believe that God loves the Jews a little bit more than you and I. Excuse me, he loved Abraham, and the promise was to Abraham, because you trusted me, your seed will be blessed. And through your seed, all nations will be blessed. How he loves the Jew and how he loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. Woo-hoo! But have everlasting life. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? All right. Everybody say agape. The love of God is not just any kind of love. Very different. Now, before we get there, I want you to notice, once again, this Holy Ghost will. Last week when we left off, I said I'd bring us back to 1 Corinthians 13. Before we go there, I want you to see another picture. There are many, but I want you to see another picture of this love. I've referenced this many times, but I'd like for you to look at it with me. Go with me to Isaiah. Split your Bible right down the middle, unless you have a huge concordance in the back, and you'll find the book of Psalms. Move to the right, past Proverbs. All right. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and you will find Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 53. That starts out, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading while you're looking, because you'll be just getting there by the time we get to the verses that I really want you to look at. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow. This is a prophecy hundreds of years prior to the coming of Jesus. We're going to be dealing with some of these truths. The impossibility, the absolute human impossibility for these to have ever been fulfilled outside of the supernatural on Wednesday Night School of the Believer in our Christian philosophy, speaking about a new way of thinking. How many of you are enjoying that? Yeah. We've had great turnouts, and it's going to only get better. Trust me, the theme is incredible. Got a lot of videos we want to show you. We're going to look at some things. I've got one that I'm going to be showing this coming Wednesday night that young university students are interviewed in a major big college, and a young man from National Review stands there, and he begins to ask them how they feel about transgender restrooms. And the conversation takes kind of a strange turn as he begins to challenge them on their new, listen, this is a religion, moral relativism. How many know what moral relativism is? Well, if you don't, you can come out and find out. Situational ethics, that is, that morality is relative to the setting. Situational ethics, your ethics and your beliefs and feelings and responses to morality. Morality comes from, they have no idea, there is no absolutes of any kind. They don't really believe in God. Humanism has become the main course, the new religion. And these young people are challenged by this man as he says, how would you feel if I told you that I was, and in so many words, you'll see it, and I don't want to blow the video, but basically he's got young college students, the new America, stuttering around and being very politically correct as he asks them how they feel about him, his belief that he is a 6'5". This is a 5'9" guy, about my size, 5'10" guy. He asked him how they would feel if he told them that he believed that he was a 6'5" Chinese woman. And watch as they go through all kinds of, well, if that's what you believe and that's how you really feel, you know, nobody should judge. It'll blow your mind. Person after person after person. America is in trouble because we have been removed from our Judeo-Christian ethic. There's another term that we're going to look at. That's School of the Believer, Wednesday nights. Now, right here, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow. This is speaking of Jesus. Impossible for this to have happened outside of the supernatural plan of God. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, I love this verse. I can't ever read it without getting a little bit of a chill bump. Here it goes. Surely, he hath borne our griefs. Come on, some of you in here need to believe that. Surely, shout it out this morning. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But, aren't you glad for but? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. I'm going to tell you what transgression is. Transgression is not just sin. Transgression is willful. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. He even bore that. You better believe it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The state of sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And come on, shout it out, somebody. And with his stripes, we are healed. Shout that out like you mean it. With his stripes, we are healed. Make it personal. By his stripes, I am healed. Spirit, soul, and body. Shout it out. Spirit, soul, and body. Brand new, healed in Jesus. That's good news. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Write this down because we're not going to turn there. It's one that you ought to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Paul, citing this very theme, says, he who knew no sin, he who knew no sin, the perfect sinless Lamb of God, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we, in exchange, unfairly, why would he take the hit for me? Oh, the love of God that he sent the most precious gift that he had into the world for you and I. To become a man. To stand as a man. Take the hit for all sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become by faith. I added by faith. That's the context of that whole theme in 2 Corinthians 5. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that beautiful? In Christ Jesus. This is what he's talking about. All we like sheep have gone astray. Verse 6, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare? I'm asking you in here, who in here is going to help me declare his generation? Who's going to stand up and say, I believe that what he did was enough? Here's what he says. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. Listen. Do you understand what Jesus willingly did? In the garden, a literal, real, physical, medical phenomenon called bleeding blood. He faced as the Son of Man, death for you and I. The man side of him, fully God and fully man. And yet this was not a token temptation. It had to be real for him to take it for us. So that faith in his blood was complete and miraculous, taking the lost out of the kingdom of darkness and translating them into the kingdom of his dear Son. You guys understand how powerful that is? I feel like I'm talking this morning and it's going over my head just like it is most of yours. I own it with you. I don't know how we can grasp this kind of love. It takes a revelation of God. It's coming out of my mouth and I'm going, I don't even know what I'm talking about. This is beyond me. Yes. Would you lift your hands today and rejoice with me for his great love wherewith he loved us. Why are Christians so quiet and meek and unwilling to shout and make some noise and get wild-eyed about the greatest thing on planet Earth? Hallelujah. Boy, y'all are making me work this morning. He who knew no sin became sin. That's what Paul is referencing. Now, Isaiah 54 takes all of this incredible, mind-blowing love of God thing, what his Son would do, and he brings it into focus on a more human level. Let's read together Isaiah 54. Now, he's speaking to the Jews in this. This is Isaiah, a Jew, speaking of the future of Israel. But remember, these same guys, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of these, by the Spirit of God, prophesied a day when through the Jew, all nations. Come on, are you here today? Through the Jew. But that was the context. That was their mentality. It was hard. They were men who were speaking things that were beyond them, supernaturally. We're going to look at how supernatural the Word of God is over the next few weeks in School of the Believer. on Wednesday nights. Here he is. He says, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the what? Point, look at your neighbor and point at him and say, he's talking about you. God's plan. And make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Verse 5, for thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the all earth shall he be called. He speaks more to Israel. Jump down to verse 9. Remember, he's speaking to you and I. How many know we've been grafted in? Paul says, by the spirit of adoption, your spirit man cries, Abba Father, Daddy God. Good news. Look at verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah. I thought of this verse this morning as I watched downtown Miami. People have never seen this. Waist deep and rising. And they're not even getting the brunt of the storm. For as the waters of Noah, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, God is saying, I'll never again flood the earth once. So he's using a very vivid picture. He says, just like that, think of that, water covering the whole earth. For as I swore in my wrath that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth. That's King James for angry. Listen, people, this is your Bible. Most of the church believes God, if he's not angry, he's at least a little bit miffed. I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my, some of you need to be underlining your Bibles, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace. This is a direct reference, supernaturally, prophetically, of the covenant that you and I now live in Christ Jesus. You guys ought to be shouting. There ought to be somebody running around in here trying to swing from the chandelier that isn't here. Listen, the reality of what this is saying, God is saying to you. What happened to this? My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. But he's talking about a future event in heaven. What is their need of mercy there? It's here and now, people. Covenant of peace in a time when mercy is necessary. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones and thy fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles. He's describing beautification, a whole new covenant and people. Peter put it this way. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, called forth by God to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness. Man, we need a Lazarus moment in here today, I guess. I don't know. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace. So Some of you moms and dads, you better listen. You better pinch yourself or pinch your hubby or wife. Wake up and realize how real this is. This is here and now, rubber meets the road gospel. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness, isn't that incredible? Long before that was even understood. In righteousness, thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall. How many are not walking in this because you believe you don't qualify? That's subtle deception by an enemy that knows better, but he's whispered that in your ear. You yielded to that truth, and now you're living far below your rights and your inheritance because of precious blood spilled for eternity. The only high priest that qualified to sit down and say, it's finished. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear. I'm back to 14. Powerful stuff. Now I'm going to jump back down to where we left off. Let's go to 17. No weapon. Oh, I've heard that stuff before, but do you know how many times I've prayed that? And that's kind of, I think it's more of a fit. Stop. That's a deception. That's why some of you need to be in here on Wednesday night. There is a way of thinking. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different scriptures and truths, but they've never let these things by the Holy Ghost come together and weave a new way of thinking. It was found in my wife, not to be melodramatic, sitting in here with us today. She's got people covering for her in kids' church. It was found in my wife the day that I was laying on my face with a compound fracture, the main artery and the main vein completely severed in two, my leg dangling off in the wrong direction. Nobody knew how bad it was. I should have been dead in under a minute. And that day, are you here today? Because of a new way of thinking. Instead of my God, screaming in fear, I still can remember to this day, in all the blinding pain that I was in, a little 5'4" blonde jumping up and down, spinning in circles, praying in other tongues, saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Code blue 3 times to the hospital. They have no idea why I'm alive. They have no idea why I still have a leg. Can you join me today in reaching for something higher and deeper, a new way of thinking? How many are glad for a name that is above every name? How about the rest of y'all? How many are glad today for a name that is above every name? Now, look at it again. No weapon. Are you stinking kidding me? No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you'll condemn. This is the heritage. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, said Isaiah. Said Isaiah. Said Isaiah. Said Isaiah. Saith the Lord, your righteousness is of me. Turn to your neighbor, bump them, say, no weapon. We've been living far below what we've been called to do. And listen, I want you to notice the order once again. He's saying, I want you to know something, Israel and planet Earth, For God so loved the world. I'm sending the most precious thing that I can imagine. And listen, in God's imagination, that's pretty big. And he's going to take the hit for mankind. Devil, you thought. And then I'm going to make it clear that because of what he does, I love the beautiful word used here, kindness. Have you ever thought of God as kind? You don't have to answer that. Most of you in here, you know you're supposed to say this, but most of you in here live today because deep in your heart, you know he's good, but he's not really kind. Oh yeah, there's some of you getting revelation. You've been in the Word and walking in the Holy Ghost, but most of the church, let alone the world, does not see God in heaven as kind. He says, my kindness is going to never end. And I'm going to establish a covenant of peace that, like my promise that the world would never be flooded again, that also will never. Do you realize what we live in right now? Would you lift your hands today and say with me, oh, the love of God. All our lives, me included, and then I turned around and did it to other people. I was told the problem with me is I didn't love God enough. And here's all the stuff I got to do to love him more so that I can be blessed. Would you shout with me, religion stinks. There is a pure religion that doesn't, but it's an outcrop of relationship. And it looks like this, taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. That was the church's job, not the government. But that's another story. We're going to talk next week about what this love looks like. Break down love. I don't know. We're going to just move as we go. We're just about out of time, but I want to introduce this thought. Have you been blessed so far today already? Giving you something to walk by. How many are glad for the love of God? So I want to leave you with this parting shot, and then we'll come back to this. I'm going to read directly. You can find this online free of charge. I love Brother Womack because of his heart for people. He's got an article in his series on the love of God. And it's called, As I Have Loved You. You can go, and if you just Google Andrew Womack, As I Have Loved You, you probably can kick up the article and follow along with me in large part where we're going to begin next week, because I'm going to use it as a backbone. It's beautifully put. Why do I have to reinvent the wheel? He says, imagine the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he has communion with his disciples and he washes their feet. We've turned that into rituals that are meaningless, demands. I've seen this done out of relationship as a servant blesses another. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. An ongoing example of what Jesus did with his own. But it's amazing to me how certain denominations of groups have turned this into a command and a demand devoid of relationship. Amazing. He reveals to them in this precious last hour's moment that Judas is the one who will betray him. He tells the disciples that he is leaving and they can't come. And he speaks these words. Turn in your Bibles to John 13. I referenced this last week. John 13, 34. And I'm going to attempt to do this in closing. Amen. John 13. Boy, you missed a great opportunity to shout out amen right there. In closing, amen. Okay. John 13, 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment. There it is again, Ruth. New means never used before. A new commandment give I you, that you love one another. Now remember, the law said, love your neighbor as yourself. It was still very much on a human level. It was describing the way that men should behave once they come in line with God. How many know that the law, although it is no longer how we relate to our Father by and through the law, how many know that the law is a perfect righteous standard that is set before? It'll never pass away. And the more we come into relationship with God through His Son Jesus, the more our lives will, more by accident than ever on purpose, look like the law. I didn't say go back to the law to relate with your Father, but His righteous, pure standard. How many know that falling in love with Jesus and having a new law of love makes you? This is what Jesus said, this thing of love, if you walk in it, you fulfill automatically all of the law. The law was given as a type and shadow of what would come, and that's a relationship. How many are glad for a faithful schoolmaster called the law that brought me to the end of myself and showed me my need for a Savior? And the law is still precious, righteous, holy, and eternal. But I have a new law called the law of love written on my heart, that when I walk in that, more by accident than I ever could have on purpose, causes me to look like the old law. Isn't that something? God knew there's no way we could do it. That's what Paul said. There is no stinking way. All right. A new commandment. Everybody say new commandment. A new commandment give I you, that you love one another. And then he makes this mind-blowing statement, a brand new idea, as I have loved you. Don't love your neighbor as you love yourself. Here's a new commandment. Love others as I have. But Pastor Lee, didn't Jesus say when they asked him about the law what it said? Yes. And he was answering their question under the law as a Jewish rabbi, exactly right, exactly what they asked him to say. He answered them correctly in reference to the law. I'll cover that next week. But here he is saying, a new commandment give I you. Here's a departure, brand new, never been used. Love one another as I have loved you. Whoa. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Brother Womack says, by virtue of the fact that this would be in part his final words to the disciples, they had to be very important. Could you say amen? Amen. Notice that what he said to them was in the form of a command, not a judgment. Not a suggestion. He's saying, this is primordial to everything else you do. Love one another as I have loved you. I'm not sure that everyone reading this letter has read or heard this passage. He says, I'm sure that everyone reading this letter has read or heard this passage many times. But in reality, most do not think that it is something they can actually do. It's a goal that they may strive to reach with gritted teeth, but usually with little success. Can you say amen or oh me? I said, can you say amen or oh me? Okay. It begs the question, would Jesus give his disciples a command he knew they couldn't keep? The answer is obviously no. So why is it so hard for us to love other people? Could it be this simple? We can't give away what we haven't received. Have you received the love of God? Oh, we talk about the love of God, the unconditional agape love of God. But have we? Listen, most of us, it's not even our fault. We've been programmed by the church to not receive the love of God. We earn the love of God. And in our attempt to earn, we never, ever, ever get there. Have you ever seen a mirage? Oh, John, beautiful lake. Where's the ranger? And the closer you get, it disappears. It disappears. That's the way effort and works is in reference to the love of God. It's an impossible mirage that ever eludes us. But for those who receive, Paul said in Romans 5:17, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these exercise power. Don't let that go. These exercise power. God, say it with me, God has not given me. The world says, you can't get ahead because of this, this, and this, and this. So compromise here and here. Even though the Bible says we shouldn't do that, compromise here and here. He'll understand there's always gray areas in everything. Do this, this, and this, and it'll be okay. It'll help you out. Be careful. Say, I'm a believer. I'm not deceived. I don't deceive myself. When I hear truth, I do. I'm glad for the love of God today. Those that receive reign. Say, I reign. Because I am learning and receiving the love of God. I've got to quit. Could it be this simple? Say with me, faith works by love. Mountains move. And also, you're going to have to exercise love with me because I told you we'd go to 1 Corinthians 13 and we didn't. So you're going to have to forgive me. We'll get there next week. The majority of churches, he says, are teaching that God's love is for us is conditional. They're misrepresenting his love, and it's one of the main reasons that we as Christians are so judgmental and harsh towards other people. Would you join me in pulling my feet back under the chair so they don't get stepped on? They are misrepresenting his love, and it is one of the main reasons that we as Christians are so judgmental and harsh towards other people. Consciously or not, we tend to treat, you might want to write this down, we tend to treat people the way we believe God is treating us. You hear that? Say with me, I'm delivered by the love of God. I didn't get there today, but we're going to get there. 1 John says, his perfect love for me has cast out all fear. Hallelujah. We must understand that God does not love us because we're lovely. I know you. Some of you think you're all that in a bag of chips. But he doesn't love you because of that. Or the chips. He does not love us because we read the Bible, go to church, pay our tithes, or do our best to keep the command to love others as he loved us. The truth is that he loves us without condition. We're going to look at that. He says here, I grew up in a Baptist church where all that was preached was the message of evangelism. They made me feel like I had to pay God back for saving me by leading others. When he said this, it struck such a deep chord in me because most of my adult ministry life, until I came here, embedded deep within me years ago from a holiness background, and I preached it as well as I had heard it, and it was like this. The number one reason that you exist as a believer on planet Earth is to reach somebody for Jesus. Wrong. I mean, no, that's important, but that's a wrong statement. He said, just like me. When I read this, I was like, maybe that's why I identify so much with him. It became such a part of me that I used to say this, the sole purpose for our existence here on this earth is to lead somebody else to Jesus. I about hit the floor when I read that. I thought, that's me. He said, then the Lord spoke to me, if evangelism is the sole purpose for your existence, then what about Adam and Eve? They had no one to lead to the Lord, no Sunday school class to teach, no one to pray for, no physical need of any kind. The answer can be found in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, and with this we end. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure, and they are and were created. The original purpose of all creation was to give God pleasure, and that is still God's purpose. Adam and Eve were created for fellowship with God. We're going to begin a journey on the love of God, and before we get to your outflow of having received love and loving others, which is so vitally important. The church, strange enough, is devoid of love. It shocks me. I think we are a very loving church. People comment on about it. But how many know that's not normal? How many know some of us in here still need to grow in that area? If you can come in here and sit in here, you've been coming to this church for more than a year, and you can come in here, sit in here, and leave and never take the time to look around and find somebody that you don't know to go up and smile and bless them before you go, you're in too big of a hurry and you're not receiving and growing in love. Sorry. Let the chips fall where they may. It's not the pastor's job, it's yours. Okay, here we go. He wanted someone to love and for them to voluntarily love him back. God's purpose for creating human beings was all about relationship. But religion has succeeded in turning us from human beings into human doings. Come on, would you this morning say, I'm a human being that is filled with the love of God. I can receive love and I can give because of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. How he loves you today. I think I know everybody in here, but you never know. If there's anybody in here that's never, you can't remember a specific moment when you confessed Jesus as your Lord and have the knowledge that you're a child of God, that if you were to die today, heaven would be your home. You don't have that assurance. There's no better time than right now to say, Jesus, I give you my heart and my life. I want to take just a few moments right now. If there's anybody in here like that at all, I am not going to call you up. I will not embarrass you. We're not into counting heads around here. But I do want to pray with you and help you come into relationship with Jesus Christ. He is truly the answer. You're here today because he brought you here. You think you got you here. But listen, today I want you to know how much he loves you. A verse that we've quoted many times, for God so loved the world. Let me tell you what he was saying. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. If you're here today and you don't know, you can know. And when we dismiss, and altars are open for anybody who has needs in prayer, I'd like for you to, at that time, make your way up. I want to pray for you personally. We're going to pray for you in general. I will not embarrass you. I will not call you out. But today, if that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, out of respect for those that may be making a very important decision. If that's you, would you slip your hand up real high, hold it up for a moment until I acknowledge you, and then slip it back down. Anybody in here like that at all? Give you just a few seconds. So that's me, Pastor. I want to know. I think I prayed that prayer a while back. In general, I believe in God, but I've never made that specific decision to make Jesus my Lord. Is there anybody in here like that at all? Give you just a few seconds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together in Jesus' name. Can we lift our hands together? All over the room. How many got something to take away with you today? Said, how many got something to take away with you today? Would you lift up your hands today all over this room? Come on, before we go, last thing. Jesus, we love you back. Come on, say it like you mean it. Jesus, we love you back. How we love you and honor you and acknowledge you and recognize you. Teach us. You told me I can talk to mountains. Now I've found out that this mountain-moving faith works by love. Show me who you are. And in that, find out who I am in you. In Jesus' name. And if you believe that, everybody shouts amen. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Let somebody else, bring somebody to church with you next week. We got plenty of room, as you can see. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week as we begin a journey of the love of God in Jesus' name. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week. Let's sing together, guys. Altars are open. If you have a need, don't leave without being prayed for. God bless you as you go.
He is jealous of me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree. His wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are. Thank you.
Bill, you can bring yours back up. I'm sorry. I got it.